We're going to be doing the 101st Mizmor. It is one of the famous Mizmorei HaMelucha. It's considered one of the royal Mizmorim. There are a series of Mizmorim, not necessarily in any particular order, that speak about the praises of David, or speak about what a good king is. It is suggested that this particular Mizmor is David's, if you like, formal or informal oath of office. This one, they say, was either a private pledge that he made to God, or it may have actually been like an oath of office. We have no idea, but it certainly tells us what his values are. And if you like, you will look inside and we'll see. Le David Mizmor. Chesed u'mishpat ashira. Now, in the past, we talked about the fact that chesed ve'emet, or chesed ve'tzedek, or chesed ve'mishpat are contradictions. They are, in fact, an oxymoron. Chesed is unconditional love. Mishpat is judgment. So it's either chesed or it's mishpat. It's not one of the two of them together. And consequently, Rashi tells us, Chesed u'mishpat ashira lecha. Whether it's chesed or whether it's mishpat, in either event, I will sing to you. I will sing to you when it looks like you're giving me all of this loving kindness. And I will also sing to you when it looks like I'm being judged and it is not going my way. I will accept this as the judgment of God. And that's why he says, we say, Baruch Hatov Umeitiv. How blessed is the good that gives us so much good when things are going well. And sadly, when we can make no sense and we have sad things, we say, Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. Benkach, Benkach, says that Rashi, be it this way or be it this way, Lecha Hashem, Ashira, Azamera, to you, God, I will sing. To you, God, I will play my music. Sfono, however, says that there is a deeper issue in all of this. And he tells us that he praises God for both the chesed and the mishpat. And he wants to explain to us philosophically what the difference is. He says that chesed is the eternity that comes to the one created in the image of God, that God gave to the human being, in other words, the mark that makes me in the image of God is my capacity for chesed, my capacity for unconditional love, my capacity to give without necessarily expecting anything in return. This is not about scratch my back or scratch your back. And it is not about a Darwinian notion that morality comes from some sort of way of survival, some sort of social contract. Because chesed, as opposed to rachamim, as opposed to any kind of contractual relationship which says I'll be nice to you and then you'll be nice to me, chesed by its definition expects nothing in return. And the capacity to love, expecting virtually nothing in return, is the hallmark of the fact that we were created in the image of God. You see, we can give nothing to God. God gave us this, he poured this out to us, expecting virtually nothing in return, because there's nothing that we could give him. It's all his anyway. That's exactly it. So he says that capacity is an eternal capacity. It's what makes us humans created in the image of God. Now, at the same time, we were also given the capacity for judgment. And the capacity for judgment is to make choices. So he's not talking about the chesed ve'emet that are completely God's and what God gives to him, but rather chesed ve'emet that are imprinted in the human being. And it is his ability to make discernments, to differentiate between good and bad, to differentiate between right and wrong. That is both aspects of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Those aspects are Hashem Elokim, Midas HaChesed and Midas Hadin, that are imprinted in us. We're two sides of a coin. So the notion that we should be non-judgmental is as unhuman as it is to be unloving. Because a human being needs to make judgments, and we do make judgments virtually all the time. And then when we pretend that we're not being judgmental, we're lying to ourselves. We're actually making a judgment to not discern, to not make any differentiation. But the capacity, even when somebody has been not necessarily good to you and is not deserving, but to be kind to them regardless, that is also a choice that you've made. And that's what makes us human. So therefore, he says, Chesed u'mishpat ashira lecha Hashem azamera. I sing it to you because it is something that's within me, which is actually a chelek elokan mimal. But Ibn Ezra and Radak are the first ones that say, no, this mizmor is an inscription, if you like, in which he wrote down what would be the values of his reign, what would be the hallmarks of his monarchy. And what does he tell us? He says, I intend to lead this country with two issues, chesed and mishpat. It's his job to love his people, to serve them, but it's also his job to make judgments and determine when there is disputes that can't be taken to a beis din. Now, you, of course, will remember later on the famous case of his son, Shlomo, with the two women who had claimed that the baby was theirs. You remember that. This becomes a case. You'll say, why is the king doing this? There was a system of courts. But when the system of courts could not work because there was no evidence or there was no sufficient witnesses, it was, if you like, extrajudicial. And extrajudicial came to the king. And it was at that point that he would make those decisions. He also made those decisions in times of emergency, in times of war, where he could determine life and death. And therefore he sings for the chesed and mishpat that David would do for Israel. And he is singing it to God, thanking him for the power of the throne and the wisdom to lead his people with both chesed and mishpat. And therefore, what does he say? Askila bederech tamim, matai tavo elai, et halech betom levavi, bekerev beiti. These are actually quite difficult verses, though the words themselves are not necessarily that hard. Askila bederech tamim. Askila means I have seichel. I will study. I will try to comprehend the way of the tamim. The tamim is not what we think of as tamimistic, naive, or stupid. Tamim is a way of integrity. Something that is flawless, in which your thoughts and your speech are one, which are consistent. When you're a person of integrity, that's tamimut. I will seek out, I will try to study the derech tamim, the way of a tamim. A tamim also serves expecting nothing in return, just a pure motivation to do good, nothing more than that. But then comes the next little passage, matai tavo elai, when will you come to me? He then proceeds in what makes sense from the first part, Etalech betom levavi, I will walk around, I will lead myself, moving through this world, beltom levavi. Tom levavi, says Fono, is without the accoutrements of rain, without being higher and mighty than everybody else, in simplicity. in modesty. And I will do so bekerev beti, in the midst of my house. In other words, I'm expecting this type of way of life, not only outside, but even inside my home. This is what I seek. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I want to study. The question that we have is, who is Matai Tavo Eli? When will you come to me? So some tell us it means Hashra'at HaShchina. When is the Shechina going to come to me? But where did the Shechina enter here? He just said, Askila B'derech Tamim, Matai Tavo Eli. So others tell us, no, if I seek out the derech tamim, this way of life, derech in Ivrit is female. You see, the word tavo can be female future tense, matai hi tavo, when shall she come? Or matai tavo can be male second person, when will you come? If he's still talking to God, it's when will you come? But it doesn't fit in the middle of this statement about trying to be a man of integrity, a man who does what he does out of pure motivation, out of pure heart, not out of any kind of ulterior motives. If that's the case, why would you suddenly say Matai Tavo Eli? Rabbi Shimshon Rifael Hirsch says he is seeking the moral path, the path towards perfection. And since a path, derech, is female, he's asking, when will it come to me? There's only one problem. A path doesn't come to you. You go on the path. Therefore, I found a very interesting thing. There was somebody by the name of Aaron Pollack who wrote about some of the difficult phrases in Tehillim. And he tells us that this section is not David speaking. It's as if in the midst of seeking the perfect path, the moral path, God interjects and says, Matai Tavo Eli, when will you come to me? It seems that this idea is not completely his. There is a similar concept in Medrash Shocher Tov, a very, very old Midrash, that suggests that in fact, in the midst of this song, in the midst of his searching for the right path, it's as if God himself called out and says, when will you come to me? For that path leads, as it were, to the Ribono Shel Olam. Others tell us a different approach, and that is that when a person seeks and habituates himself to do the right thing, there comes a point in which that right thing comes to him. It becomes natural. It's not as if you went to the road, as if the road went to you. It has now become so ingrained, so habituated, that it becomes you, yourself. Matai Tavo Eli is when will this road finally come to me, meaning that it will become natural to me. Now, I don't know if you do this, but I sometimes, when I go into the car and I'm not paying attention and I'm distracted, and certainly if the phone rings, I find myself taking old paths the same way that I've always used to go. Okay? I used to drive to work every day, and I suddenly find myself, oh my, I don't work here anymore. Okay? But it was like automatic, that's what you're doing. The path comes to you. In other words, it's old habits. Now, it's interesting that in 1970, the Oxford Cambridge came out with a new translation of the Tehillim, and there they wrote, I will follow a wise and blameless course, because of the word askila, seichel, and the tamim, blameless, without blemish. Whatever may befall me, that word, matai tavo elai, is no matter what comes to me. This is the way they translated it. I don't know what your translations do, but I would be curious to see that, because it seems kind of strange to be smack dab in the middle of this line where you're changing the voice, right? And you're changing the topic. What is happening here? Who's coming to me?
senses, I will concern myself in the way of integrity. When will the opportunity come to you?
Well, actually, Rabbi Shimshon Efrat Nirsch, at least in the Hebrew version that I have, says the moral path. Mm-hmm. When it becomes as natural to me as my breathing, doing the right thing becomes as natural to me, I will reach this kind of level, okay? And he's not that far away, because Rashi says, "Haderech hayishara lihitalech ba." When will the right path by which I would search for, when will it come to me? In other words, I'm searching for this path. When will it come to me? Then when he says, Bekerev Beiti, I will do this both in the closed, behind closed doors as well as in public. Because that's what it means to be a tamim. It's how you behave indoors and outdoors. What you say and what you think are all in sync with each other. Ah, but now since he mentioned Bekerev Beiti, let's go on and see what happens. Lo ashit lenegede nai dvar bliya. Asot seitim seneti. Lo yidbak bi. I won't let, in front of my eyes, allow any kind of dvar bli'al. Bli'al means bli'ol, immorality, because somebody who's moral has a yoke on his neck. He sees himself as a servant of God, and he is chained to doing the right thing. He can't go any further. But somebody who has shed all of this yoke, who says, I'll do whatever I feel like doing, I'm not bound by any kinds of rules or laws, is a bli'al. I won't let it come before my eyes. What? And if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. Sometimes people say it's like, see no evil, hear no evil. Is that all we mean here? No. Say, some of our mefarshim, that when we say lo yavo b'neged einai, that it won't come in front of my eyes, we are talking about my mind's eye. Not merely my eye, but in fact my mind's eye, my imagination. I won't allow something of it. I won't even allow a thought like that to arise before me. Aso seitim saneti. Listot is to swerve off the path. Sote is somebody who is perverse. Sote, with a sin, means somebody who's off the normal path. And therefore speaks to anything that we would consider abnormal, though today the abnormal has become
the normal.
Okay, so we have to be careful about normative behavior, because what's normal is not necessarily moral. And people make the confusion that if enough people do it, it therefore is normal. Because if that were the case, then what the Nazis did was normal.
Mm.
And therefore they could argue it was moral. Not what is normal is moral. There's a higher law. Those who do perverse things, I hate. And there's a play here, saneti, sitim, saneti. Loid bakbi, it will not cleave to me. And tells us Chadak, because these kinds of behaviors are actually contagious. The more you see it, the more you actually imprint that kind of behavior. And it is why people who've been exposed to pornography are no longer the same ever again. It's in their mind, you understand? Things that previously would not even have occurred to them warp them. And here he will not tolerate that. He says, I will not abide that. I won't let that happen under my rule. Levav ikesh yasum mimeni. The word ikesh, typically akshan, means stubborn, obstinate. What does it mean in this case? He says a ikesh is somebody who insists on doing it my way and refuses to be altered, refuses to be corrected, who's stuck in his way and says, this is the way I am. He says the heart that is stubborn and obstinate, remove him from me. Ra lo eda, evil I will not know. Really? Is it because you don't see it? Because it won't be near you, you won't know it? Therefore, some tell us that the word ladat can also mean to love, to be close to. The Adam Yadat Chava Ishton. Adam knew his wife Eve. We use the word Yada to indicate that it is somebody that you want to be close to, that you want to get to know them. I don't even want to know them. I don't want to know them. I don't want to understand them. I don't want them out of here. Get them out of here. It's better for me not to have them. Evil has no room here. I don't want to understand it. I don't want to understand the motivation of evil. He doesn't want to have it in his kingdom. So to Rashi, it means don't love. And Radak says, evil people will not be allowed to be close to him. And Ladat, as you saw in the book of Ruth, where Elimelech is moda le'isha, he was somebody who was close, a relative of her husband's. It means somebody that you know, somebody that you are in association with. He says, therefore, what he's saying is, there's no room for an evil person in my court. I don't want them in my court. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Ibn Ezra simply explains, Ra lo eda, I don't want to know how to do evil. I don't want to know how to do evil. Malbim explains that the word ikesh is not merely obstinate, it means crooked, twisted. And we all know what that means. Some people just can't seem to do things straight. They have to always do it. I won't tolerate that, he says. And therefore he wants nobody who might be bribing, who might want to be able to have special protection, special rules for himself. Not in my case. Miloshni baseter re'ehu oto atzmi. Miloshni Baseter is people who gossip about others secretly when their friends don't see them. Or they tattletale, or they whistleblow, or they speak about them. If you want to go and accuse somebody, do it openly. No leaking. No leaking. No behind the doors. No secret messages about somebody. You want to say something, you've got something, a complaint against somebody, you have to come to the king and tell him that somebody is not straight or somebody is not first trustworthy. Say it and use your name. No secret. Now the word la'atsnit actually means to shrivel. But in this case he means I will cut them off. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Furthermore, gva einayim urechav levav oto lo uchal. I will not abide. I will not tolerate. I cannot stand. Gva einayim, high eyes, people who look upwards, people who've got their noses up in the airs. Urechav levav, wide hearts. He talks about people who are extremely ambitious. Wide heart in this case doesn't mean that he's open hearted, but rather that he's full of coveting. He can't have enough. He can't satiate his heart. It's so big, there's nothing that can fulfill it. In other words, there's no room for ambition, and there's no room for people with great lust for money. I've got no room for that. I can't abide them. My eye is only on those who are loyal and faithful to the land, to the patriots, to those who care about their country. Lashevet imadi, I seek them out and I want them to sit with me. Let those people who are truly concerned for the country, I want them to be in my court. Holech bederech tamim hu yishalteini. Only the one that walks on that blameless, perfect road. Somebody who's not seeking what he can get for it, but rather what he can give to others. Only that person can be my servant. Tell us the Mefoshim, even as a personal servant, even as a valet, even if somebody who's going to clean the toilets. I don't want anybody to serve me, not only as an advisor, not only in the cabinet, but no one in my house can be there unless they're interested in actually being loyal to their country and doing what's good for the country. That's what I want. Lo yeshev bekerev beiti oser emia. I won't abide somebody to be in my household who does something crooked, who does some trickery. Dover shkarim lo yikon beneged elai. Somebody who speaks falsely will not withstand in front of my eyes. In other words, they don't stand a chance. If I catch them with a lie, out they go. And so in some respects, I don't know if this would have been said in front of the whole country as much as he probably would have said this in front of his court, to all of the advisors, to all of his military leaders, to all of those that were in the palace. You understand? This would have been appropriate. Here's the terms of your employment. Here is what I expect from you. And Malbim tells us, interestingly, Ne'emanei Aretz, those that are loyal to the country, he says, and not to a party or to their self-interest. No partisanship. Labkarim atzmit kol rashei aretz. Every morning, meaning morning, if I have to do this every day, I will wipe out the evil ones in this country. Lehachrit me'ir Hashem kol po'alei aven. My mission is to cut out of this city all those who do aven. But an aven is a no-no. Somebody who doesn't treat people well. Somebody who looks for the shortcuts in his life. That's an aven. Because avon with ayin is a sin. And an aven comes from the word ein, or according to Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, it comes from the word on, which means power. And that becomes therefore a statement of his mission. And the mission is that we need to remove the abuse of power, and we need to remove from power all those that are interested in advancing the cause of a tribe, of a party, or their self-interest, as opposed to what's good for the country.